Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Andrew Goss is here, too, ladies and gentlemen. Andy is a currency expert, and that's a hard job, by the way. I've tried to understand currency and the fluctuations and the trading and all that, and it's hard to do, and you got to be pretty smart to do that. Andy is the author of The Secret World of Money, as well as Uncle Sam Cooks the Books. No big surprise around here. He's our new friend, Andrew Goss. Welcome to the show.
Welcome. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you here, Andy. And one of the things that we've all been aware of for the last several years, really, we had a weak dollar for a long time, and that helped our exports.
Yes, it did.
But a lot of people didn't like a weak dollar. A lot of people thought that a weak dollar was a weak America. And right. a lot of really smart people that I know feel that way. For example, Steve Forbes doesn't like a weak dollar. Stephen Moore with the Heritage Foundation doesn't like a weak dollar. A lot of folks don't like a weak dollar. But now we've got a strong dollar, and a strong dollar is creating its own version of mayhem, isn't it?
Indeed it is. Well, and to sum up there... Generally, people with a lot of money hate weak dollars, and people with very little money love them. It allows debtors, which most of America is in debt, right? So debtors can pay back their loans with dollars that are worth less, and certainly they can demand higher earnings. So, yeah, I guess it's a battle between rich and poor, as it always has been.
Interesting.
If you look back in history, in the 1890s, when William Jennings Bryant was running around, it was, you're not going to crucify me on a cross of gold. Mm-hmm. And a gold-backed dollar then was the strongest thing in the world. So what they were advocating was, hey, let's make a little inflation, because inflation and a falling dollar, why, that's good for farmers, that's good for agrarians, that's good for folks that are making things here in the United States, because it makes our goods cheaper around the world.
Right.
Our dollar has become our chief export.
A weaker dollar is good for exports, and a strong dollar is good for imports.
That's right, yeah. Well, if you want to look at it that way, where a weaker dollar is good for the working person, and a stronger dollar is bad for the working person, because obviously, along with all those imports, goes our jobs in export.
The other thing is, has the strong dollar and the exchange of which, especially since the oil is denominated in U.S. dollars,
right.
has that contributed to a slower global economy, you think?
Oh, well, absolutely. You know, that's our number one export, first of all, dollars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's odd that we have a currency that the rest of the world values more than their own. So they use our dollars as a method of saving their wealth. And, you know, quite honestly, that shortage of dollars contributes to their high price. Obviously, supply and demand dictate price. If the supply of dollars is not as great as the demand for dollars, then their value will increase. So with the rest of the world in such turmoil, Europeans are cashing in their euros and buying dollars. Asians are cashing in their yen and buying dollars.
And that's not, there's no manipulation there. That's just the market force, isn't it?
That is the market force.
The strong dollar we have right now, isn't like what China's doing with their yuan. I mean, this is just market forces, right?
Indeed it is, yeah. And I would argue that those market forces are temporary and unnatural, and that, you know, we shouldn't really get used to a strong dollar, because obviously the pendulum is going to swing the other way.
Right.
But for that period when we find ourselves in the midst of exports, I guess I would have to say, if I had to lay the blame at somebody's feet, it would be the Federal Reserve.
Yeah,
you know, the fact that they shut off their quantitative easing spigot just at the time that our economy was getting heated up, and then held all of the bonds that they bought in their vaults.
Right.
So they haven't
about three trillion dollars with the bonds, something like that, three or four.
About a million and a half in mortgage-backed securities, a trillion and a half.
What should they have done?
They should have sold those bonds. Yeah. You know, this is
what would that have done? What would have been the equal and opposite reaction of selling those bonds?
Interest rates would have risen.
Okay.
And for a small
business, that's rising interest rates is not good for small business.
Well, indeed it isn't. Except that, you know, you talk to bankers right now, and at 3% rates, at, you know, next to nothing rates, nobody wants to borrow. If you look at MZM, right. This is a startling figure. Money with a zero maturity, Jim. When the crisis started in 2008, we had $6 trillion in the bank. I'm using my air quotes here because
right.
I'm talking about our checking accounts and our savings accounts, not CDs or bonds. Just
what is that?
Was
that M1?
No, MZM, money with a zero maturity.
Okay, I got you.
Meaning it's not invested in anything. It's just sitting and waiting.
Right.
You know, that number today is $13 trillion. We've more than doubled the amount of money that we have stashed away.
That's because of deleveraging, though, because as a reaction to what happened in 2008, right?
Precisely, yeah.
Yeah.
And instead of reinvesting the money, we just chose to park it, you know.
Well, that's why Main Street has done that.
Amen.
Main Street has done it as a defense. Wall Street has done it. Corporate America has done it because they found another way to hold their share prices up without investing in the economy.
Buy their own stock.
That's exactly right. And I'm really mad about that because when Wall Street doesn't, when major corporations don't invest in the economy, they don't let contracts to small business owners.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely correct. And this is like the number one thing. So some sort of a prohibition against share buybacks, at least with borrowed money.
I'm telling you, I don't like seeing the government get involved in things. But I'll tell you, we're going to talk about the future of capitalism with Bruce Piasecki in the next half hour. But I believe, Andy, there's two kinds of capitalism being practiced right now in America. There's Main Street capitalism, which is market capitalism. Out here, it's what you see small business owners doing every day. It hasn't changed in 200 years. And then there's financial capitalism, which is what's going on Wall Street, and in my opinion, financial capitalism has cost this economy half of its growth. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. Half is probably a conservative figure.
Yeah.
You know, the fact is that once we surrendered monetary control to the Federal Reserve, these are unelected people, right?
Yeah.
Nobody puts them in office.
So would you abolish the Fed?
No, I would nationalize it.
Nationalize it.
Put
it under politicians.
Absolutely, because we
Andy, that guys. Doesn't sound like nobody thinks that's a good idea.
Well, yeah, but here's their argument. Oh no, the Fed's independent because it puts a check and balance on Congress. Really?
You know what I would do? You know what I would do? I wouldn't nationalize it. I wouldn't abolish it. I'd move it to Sheboygan.
I'd move it out of New York.
I'd move it to Kansas City or somewhere. Quick break.
Yeah.
Right back
well,
with Andy Goss.
Hold
on to that thought, Andy. We're going to come right back and have another good discussion with Andy Goss. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.